What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Triggered. This is Triggered, episode number 551 here on Wednesday, March 20th. Lots of news over the last few weeks, so let's get right into it. But big news coming up today. First, President Trump to sign an executive order this afternoon closing the Department of Education.
Finally, it's here.
Promises made, promises kept.
Yep.
Will shift education control to the states, reducing federal overreach. Obviously, a longtime goal of ours. Great news, and he's supposed to sign that at 4 o'clock today. I believe there's also a signing in the Oval Office at 3 o'clock for other executive orders. Not sure what's included in that yet, but we do know that the education order is coming. And last week, we kept the government open. The left tried to shut it down, yeah, as predicted, but we succeeded. Shout out to Speaker Johnson and Leader Thune for getting the job done up on the Hill.
And thank you, Chuck Schumer, for caving like a little bitch.
Yeah, the biggest loser was definitely Chuck Schumer. We're going to talk about him more later in the show. Let's see. Yesterday at the White House, we had our own Kitty Pavlich there asking questions. Great introduction from Caroline Leavitt for Town Hall Media. Take a listen.
Here in our new media seat today, we have Katie Pavlich. Katie is the editor of townhall.com, which is a subsidiary of Town Hall Media. It's a leading conservative news and opinion outlet based right here in Washington, D.C., with writers and journalists reporting around the country. Last year, Town Hall Media had 60 million unique users and 1.4 billion page views, with a broad reach on a number of social media platforms.
Yeah, and I mean, Caroline Leavitt's just been on absolute fire recently. The best I thought of the week was Monday when she was asked about the French who wanted the Statue of Liberty back. Take a listen to that.
There is now a member of the European Parliament from France who does not think the U.S. represents the values of the Statue of Liberty anymore. They want the Statue of Liberty back. So is President Trump going to send the Statue of Liberty back to France?
Absolutely not. And my advice to that unnamed low-level French politician would be to remind them that it's only because of the United States of America that the French are not speaking German right now. So they should be very grateful to our great country.
I mean, that's just perfect. Like, it's perfect. She's doing a great job. It's great to see a young person there just taking a fucking machete to the media, the liberal media.
What about what you said about Tim Walz yesterday?
What did
basically? Well, he's basically just living a miserable, sad existence
after his
disastrous defeat.
Yeah. We'll talk more about Tim Walz later when we talk about the Tesla stuff. On Tuesday night, the stranded astronauts that Joe Biden kept in space because he didn't want to ask Elon to help splashed down into, of course, the Gulf of America.
Yeah.
Shout out to Elon Musk and SpaceX for bringing our astronauts home. Of course, with the help of NASA's interim administrator and President Trump. So that was a great thing to see. We also got the, on Tuesday night, the JFK files. So far, they've been basically a nothing burger. I mean, you know, this happens with a lot of this stuff. You always expect there's going to be some smoking gun and conspiracy theorists abound, but I mean, it's not really that surprising, anything that's been in there.
I mean, except for Ted Cruz's dad.
Oh, yeah. That's still one of the best Trump ones of all time.
Here, on that boat right there, that's Ted Cruz's dad.
And we had, we're still waiting for the full Epstein files, Pam Bondi. You know, Pam Bondi needs to get things moving. The DOJ has been pretty slow in the draw here. Cash Patel, I thought, has been doing a great job at the FBI. But in general, the DOJ is kind of lagging behind as far as reforms, firings, you know, bringing new people in. So hopefully she will get things together there coming soon. Let's talk about these judges. So we basically have an ongoing judicial coup in this country where these district judges are granting nationwide injunctions against the president, who has clear executive power and oversight of these things that he's trying to do. For example, when they tried to get those planes loaded with gang members to turn around.
Yeah.
Which I love that they said, fuck you on that.
Yeah. I mean, well, they're already over international waters. You know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's an argument. But
not that, I don't think it would have stopped.
But either way,
yeah,
I say fuck the judges.
Yeah.
And we should just do whatever we want and then take it to the Supreme Court. Also, John Roberts, shut your fucking mouth.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to take up the case in an expedited measure and rule on it immediately, shut the fuck up. Yeah. The Supreme Court takes forever to rule on things. And really, that's a problem for us. But there's a movement in Congress to, one, impeach the judges, which I don't think is going to happen. They should be, but they won't be. But two, to stop just district judges from granting nationwide injunctions.
Yeah.
One single district judge shouldn't have the same power as the Supreme Court.
No. And
that's not how it was designed.
It's getting out of control. I mean, like, that, when Roberts opened his mouth, it was like the worst point, worst time.
Yeah.
The worst time. Because then another district judge shot down Trump's executive order banning transgenders in the military. And it's like, no. You don't control the military.
Right.
That is explicitly an Article 2 function of the executive. You don't get to, like, what's next? They get to sign off on troop movements?
Yeah.
You know, Mike Davis, who the former clerk for Neil Gorsuch, has been
on fire
with against these judges lately. If you go on, if you have Twitter, please go on. He's been
X. Just been, get it right, oh, X. Yeah. And by the way, welcome back to X. Matt Vespa is back on X.
Yes.
After a long stay in the X gulag.
Yeah, I dug a tunnel like Andy Dufresne.
And freedom. He got out with the rain pouring down from the sewage. But yeah, he's back, and so definitely, if you're not following him, go give him a follow. I think it's, what, at MVespa1,
that's
the number one.
That's me, yeah.
Everyone already follows me on X.
Yeah,
you know.
I know.
I was, we'll get to this now, Tim Walz opened his stupid mouth yesterday and was, like, bashing on Elon Musk and Tesla. First off, what a retarded thing to do, because his state pension holds a significant share of Tesla.
It's a lot of Tesla.
Yeah, so, you know, fucking over your own constituents, go figure. He's just generally weird.
Yeah.
And
he's encouraging terror attacks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what I think that should be aiding and abetting domestic terrorism. But that's just me.
Well,
so, that's get on that.
That's what he's doing, you know. He's encouraging domestic terror attacks on Tesla's dealerships. In between sucking off all those horses. Because we're bringing back, bringing back the Tim Walz horse cum memes.
And fucking traffic.
So memes. Definitely stay tuned on my X for that, because I got to go back through my election meme folder and bring all those back. I have them saved. I just have to bring them back.
That story was never disproven.
No.
It was never disproven.
He had to have his stomach pumped because he took too much.
Too much. He was going to get pregnant.
I don't think that's how it works. But he is the one who wants to put tampons in boys' bathrooms. So.
And his
Tampon Tim.
His daughter's having a level 5 meltdown over that.
And then he said he would beat the shit out of MAGA supporters. Tim, I would gladly fight you.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't end well. Yeah.
Man who can't load a shotgun properly is going to take us on.
Yeah. I also love Chris Lacivita on X being like, let's fight, Tim.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's do it. Oh, my God.
And then Caitlyn Jenner. I'm more masculine than this guy. I'm like, I'm never leaving this site.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else we got going on here? Terrorists being put on notice. So we are killing a lot of terrorists. We killed the leader of ISIS. I'm not even going to bother trying to say his name. It's some fucking Durka shit.
holy shit.
That's a long one, right? It was in Iraq.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of assets over there in the Middle East right now, because we're also bombing the shit out of the Houthis.
Yeah.
You know, they fucked around and now they're finding out. Israel has resumed the war because Hamas reneged on all of the guarantees of the ceasefire.
Limited ground operations last night.
Yeah, yep. So kill them all. That's what I say. So we are killing terrorists over there. We're bombing them to shit.
And it's their fault. They keep dicking around with these hostages. We'll release them. Oh, we can't find them. You know what? How about you know this, that, and the other. You know,
enough, it's time to just finish the job.
Yeah,
and just finish it. Yeah. Get rid of them. Kill them all. As I said,
I think they're dead too.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, remember the mother and the two babies they paraded around?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I was told there was genocide going on. There's a lot of them.
like at the end of the kingdom, we're going to kill them all.
Yeah, we're going to kill them all. You're not my child.
we have a new Trump travel ban coming, which I'm sure they'll call it a Muslim ban, but... Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah, so Afghanistan, Bhutan... which I didn't really even know was a country until recently. Yeah. Cuba, Iran, Libya, North Korea, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, Venezuela, and Yemen.
Ooh.
visas for Russians and Pakistanis severely restricted, and many African nations are on yellow, which means they have 60 days to address security concerns. I mean, you know,
yeah,
not surprising there. Yeah. We are enhancing national security. You know, it's reviving a signature policy from Trump's first term, and it's just realist.
Yeah,
we don't want terrorists in our country, and it goes back to the deporting of this terrorist from Columbia University. Well, I guess that's a court case now. I'm sure we'll get a nationwide injunction on that mm-hmm. one. And then also there was a new one last night where this fucking terrorist providing essentially material support in favor of a terrorist.
Talking about the Georgetown University guy?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, buried in all these reports is that his father-in-law is a political advisor to Hamas.
Yes.
So, yeah. I'm sorry, when you have family members who are Hamas, you know, members of Hamas or support that terror group, you're going to, I would hope you would get your ass detained.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yep. What else we got going on? We're getting towards a major peace deal in the war in Ukraine. President Trump talking with President Putin.
Beautiful
for
call.
2 hours on Tuesday. A perfect call.
Perfect call.
Then he talked with Zelensky for, I think, an hour and a half on Wednesday. And so
I have a feeling it's going to collapse, though.
Maybe.
Because Zelensky wants us to take control of the power plants.
That's
a surefire way for us to get into another fucking war. We want to get out of there.
Yeah, but
we want to get out of there.
I actually have confidence that Putin would not fuck around with us. Yeah, because...
Well, because Trump's president.
No, because Trump's president. Yeah. I wouldn't put it past the Ukrainians to stage a false flag for something like that.
Try to go to some...
I think we're going to get a long-term peace deal. It might take, you know, about another month. But there's, you know, essentially a limited ceasefire in place, and kind of hostilities are slowly ceasing.
This is better. Hey, listen, this is better progress than I would have, you know, thought.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The situation. So.
Yep. Back to our old friend Chuck Schumer. So, Chuck got absolutely face fucked last week on the CR after he came out and said that they were going to try to shut down the government. And then he totally caved because he was getting destroyed. It was being called the Schumer shutdown.
Yeah.
Then it was, what, 8 or 9, maybe 10 Democrats voted in our favor. Yeah. And so we got that passed. And then the libs, the hard left, which is all the left essentially at this point, were fucking furious with him. So he canceled his book tour.
He did again,
And then he goes on The View and says this.
And you know what their attitude is? I made my money all by myself. How dare your government take my money from me? I don't want to pay taxes. Or I built my company with my bare hands. How dare your government tell me how I should treat my customers, my the land and water that I own, or my employees? They hate government. Government's a barrier to people, a barrier to stop them from doing things. They want to destroy it. We are not letting them do it, and we're united.
Well, you know, he just reestablished himself as leader of the Democrats in the Senate.
I mean, talk about brutal.
Yeah.
That's going to be an ad in every single Senate campaign in 2026. Yeah. Thank you, Chuck. I appreciate that. He's I think he's going to see some serious challenges to his leadership. He might get primaried for his seat. He's up in 26.
I think he will.
There's some talk AOC is going to primary him, which I think he would win that. But man, would that content be fucking delicious.
Yeah.
Them two going at each other's throats would be just unfucking real.
We'll see if AOC does some kind of weird trips outside of New York City over the next few months. Keep an eye out.
I mean, I think it'll happen.
I mean, he's been afraid of that for years. Remember when because Andrew Cuomo killed so many people with his COVID policy, they lost a congressional seat. Supposedly Schumer went to state Democrats and was like, please, for the love of Christ, do not get rid of her district. I need her to be busy with something and not focusing on me.
Well, and now we have creepy Andrew Cuomo running for mayor of New York City. And seems to be the presumptive Democrat nominee there.
Yeah,
I saw a poll that had him at 74%, which is wild.
Yeah.
But I actually think that if he's the candidate, we might have a chance there to at least make it really close.
Mm.
People in New York City are pissed off. They're pissed off at Kathy Hochul. They're pissed off at Eric Adams. There's kind of a little bit of a Trump vibe going on there. And I mean, it's still New York City, you know. I mean, there's only so much you could do with that.
Yeah.
You're never going to get another Rudy Giuliani type.
Or Bloomberg.
Or even a Bloomberg, yeah. But, you know, I think there's some room there. And then there's, you know, an interesting race in New Jersey for governor. The guy who nearly beat Phil Murphy last time, Jack Cittarelli, is running again.
Ooh.
Nice. Yeah, our Italian is back in it. And he looks to probably secure that nomination in their primary. I think their primary is in June. That's going to be an interesting race. I mean, the Democrats have been bleeding in New Jersey, voter registration-wise. Yeah. I mean, Trump made it a swing state in the presidential election. I think Kamala only won it by, what, 4 to 5 points?
Yeah.
It was. I think it was closer than almost Virginia.
Yeah, it was the smallest margin for a Democrat in Jersey in, like, two generations.
Decades. So that'll be really interesting. I mean, it's an off-year election. You know, there's always kind of a swing back in the midterm vibe a little bit. Generally goes opposite of what the previous election went. But I'll tell you, a lot of people up in New Jersey are thrilled with Trump. I think that we're going to see what happens with this tax bill here. And I actually am pretty optimistic that there's a chance that that'll be really close.
Yeah.
Which, you know, talking about New Jersey standards, like we're talking about Republicans contending in New Jersey is pretty wild.
Yeah.
But if you look at
that, stars have to align up there. Yeah.
But if you look at that voter registration data, I'll tell you, the Democrats up there are freaking out. And then you, of course, have here in Virginia, the governor election, and Winsome Sears is going to be our candidate, and she's great. I don't think we're going to be able to win this, mostly because of the federal government shit going on in Northern Virginia. I mean, the people around here are fucking
nuts.
Insane.
Nuts.
They are protesting outside of Tesla dealerships. There's Elon is a Nazi sign all over the place. The Virginia Democrats are putting out yard signs that say, "I stand with federal workers."
Yeah.
Fucking throw up over that. Yeah. And then we have, on April 1st, some elections coming up, which are really important. We have two Florida House seats for Matt Gaetz and Mike Waltz. Mm-hmm. Those are going to be Republican shoo-ins, so I'm not concerned with that. But the way more important race, and I've alluded to this a little bit in previous episodes, is the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Because there's many key cases that are coming up before the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and this would flip the court to a liberal majority. Namely, the gerrymandering case, which could steal two House seats away from us, which, as we know, our majority is very thin as it is, and would make it very difficult in the 26th election in the midterms to try to keep the House. The Republican running there, Brad Schmiel, I think I'm saying that correctly, not quite sure, he's going up against a Soros liberal who lets rapists out of jail, pedophiles, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
So we got a few emails from listeners after the last episode where I talked about this. So if you want to donate, if you want to support him, and I highly encourage it, and especially if you're in Wisconsin, get out there, do some door knocking, do some retail politics, get your friends to vote. Early voting's open right now. It's Brad Schmiel. I think I'm saying that right. S-C-H-I-M-E-L, Brad Schmiel. Highly, highly encourage you to get out there and support him. It's really, really important. It's really the key race of the next few months here is this Wisconsin Supreme Court race, and it has really, really big national implications. So do not slow down on that. Keep pushing. See, we got a bunch of fake news going on, of course, and I bet you can guess the outlet involved, the Associated Press.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, they made up some shit about Tulsi Gabbard, and where she was saying that Trump was, quote, very good friends with Vladimir Putin. They're trying to sink a peace deal.
Yeah.
And it's just bullshit. It's fake news.
Luckily, that story collapsed in less than 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean.
And then you had another fake news story from the Daily Beast, which that's a lot less surprising.
Yeah.
The liberal Daily Beast. Basically implying that Trump wanted to bang Representative Anna Paulina Luna, which couldn't have been further from the truth.
Yeah.
Because they said, quote, Trump offered his bed as long as she kept it a secret from his wife, which is fucking ridiculous, first off. The incident in question was because she was pregnant and flying on his plane, and he said, hey, if you want to go rest in my bed, you're welcome to. And she was having complications with her pregnancy. She was tired.
Preeclampsia. Which is life-threatening. And it's just, like, she took to Twitter and was like, I don't normally do this, and then wrote an article just basically just ripping apart the article and the book in which the excerpt is from.
So, yep. Yeah. Then you have Politico making up another story about Tulsi Gabbard. You could see the military-industrial complex at work here.
Yeah.
Making up a story about criticism of Israel and this and that. Total fake news. You know, I'm sure they're upset about losing their USAID sugar daddy. They pushed the story anyway. It was total fake news. Alexa Henning, Gabbard's deputy chief of staff for communications, I think, said it was fake news. I mean, you know, this just continues, and the liberal media is freaking out, and you see it on CNN and MSNBC. I mean, Scott Jennings is the only one on CNN that has a brain these days.
Yeah. I would say him and Congressman Burchett.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's not a paid contributor. No, you're absolutely, like, he's, thankfully he's staying, apparently.
Yeah.
They're going to resign him, so.
Well, I think he already redid his deal. There's some talk that he might run in Kentucky, the Republican candidate in Kentucky to replace Mitch McConnell, which would be great, honestly.
But that's
But yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So then over the weekend, we get this report on Friday, and this there's been great investigative work done by the Oversight Project about Biden's use of the auto pen. And Biden's rampant use of the auto pen has come under scrutiny here. In fact, the Oversight Project, which is a part of Heritage Foundation, found that auto pen signatures were used for a massive number of Biden pardons, executive orders, and other actions. And this goes back to everything that we talked about for a really long time last year about who exactly is in charge. Who is making these decisions? Who's putting out these orders? Who is deciding on these pardons?
And it's apparently Neera Tanden, apparently.
Well, you know, I mean, there's going to be some serious questions here about the legality of this and whether these things are valid.
Yeah,
I agree. And so I can definitely see that case going to the Supreme Court. Now, I think there's a time and place for auto pen.
Yeah.
But generally, it's supposed to be the live signature by the president signifying his sign-off.
Yeah.
And Trump even said, like, yeah, I'll use AutoPen for unimportant papers, but any executive order or anything like that is being signed by me.
Some of the stuff that was being signed by Biden. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I think that's going to be a very, very interesting constitutional case coming up here soon. But, you know, the liberals just are really continuing to struggle with their opposition to Trump, their messaging, the retards that they have at the forefront of the party, like Jasmine Crockett and Chris Murphy and AOC and Eric Swalwell. And you even have, you know, leading Democrats like, what's his name, Charlemagne, being like, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
You know, and I played that clip last week of Van Jones. Same thing.
Yeah.
They have no leaders. They have no viable alternatives who will take on J.D. Vance in 2028.
They just want to get Elon. That's basically it right now. We don't like Trump, and we're going to subpoena
Elon. And we hate Elon. Yeah. And so, like, the hate on Elon is just so ridiculous to me. Because this guy, again, very similar to Trump, didn't need this.
Nope.
Didn't need to do this. The liberals used to fucking love him and love his Teslas and electric vehicles. And
you know, yeah, I remember, yeah.
The guy is losing billions personally doing this.
Yeah.
And he's just doing it because he wants to save the country. And he knows that if we don't get our spending under control, this country will become insolvent. And we don't have a revenue problem in this country. We have a spending problem.
Yeah.
And the only way to fix that is to cut. And, you know, Elon doesn't have the authority to fire you. Well, is that the direction of the president?
Yeah, so yes, he does.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, he does.
Like, it's just outrageous to me. And the guy is a patriot.
And there are processes to rehire these. If these people feel that they've been, you know, fired wrongly, there's processes for them to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the district judge, which is now ordering all these people back to work.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fucking insane. Yeah. And the Democrats are just, you know, I think realizing how fucked they are. And you see it in the screeching happening on Democrat cable news. You know, their fundraising arm, Act Blue, is falling apart.
Everyone's fleeing. I think there's going to be some serious... I think people are going to jail.
I think so, too. I think there was serious fraud there. When you lose your entire executive leadership that are fucking running for the hills...
Yeah.
It's bad. And donations have collapsed. I mean, they are really up Schitt's Creek. Yeah. And
not that it, now, let's say Act Blue wasn't in trouble. Not that it would make any difference, but no one's giving to Democrats nowadays. They have no message. They have no unity. There's nothing to rally around. I mean, the irony of the CR fight was that, you know, the Democrats thought, well, we'll just wait until the Republicans, you know, are in disarray and collapse on, you know, under their own divisions. Well, in the end, it was then that got a face full of buckshot. You know, you have, you know, Schumer caving. You had Timu Obama up there, you know, just downplaying. No. We're unified. And everyone's like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
I mean, Nancy Pelosi is urging all-out rebellion against Chuck Schumer. You got AOC going fucking, you know, schizo-titso over this. It's just, there's no... they got nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
And then, you know, that's juxtaposed against President Trump enjoying the best approval ratings he's ever had.
Yes.
I saw in this poll yesterday, if you look at the demographic groups, right?
Yeah.
Which was broken down into four categories from the top. It was educated and uneducated men and women, right? Every group except the woke white women, a.k.a. the college-educated women who would have been indoctrinated, supports Trump.
Yeah. They don't even like the Democratic Party. You see that?
Yeah.
The only thing that they have super high favorables are DEI and Vladimir Zelensky.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Try building a winning coalition with that type of subset. Well, that has a stranglehold on that party.
The approval rating of the Democrats is at 27%. I think it's the lowest it's ever been in recorded history.
It's bad.
We now have Trump above 50% approval. You know, this is an NBC poll which said 47% approval, at which is his highest. I think it's above 50%. But the biggest thing to me, and we've talked about this a lot in the past, and how it affects elections and the overall mood of the country, right track, wrong track, right? 44% of Americans believe the country is headed in the right direction, the highest figure since January 2004.
Yep.
21 years.
Yeah, and you have to go back to 2012 to when it broke 40.
Yeah.
So it's doubled in 2 months.
Well, this is up from 27% in November 2024, right after the election.
Look at that.
I mean, this is, you know, the legacy media and the liberal media are so out of touch with public sentiment.
Yeah.
They've consistently underestimated Trump's support since the day he came down that escalator in Trump Tower.
And they can't gauge it, because right now I think there is a lot of people who like what he's doing, but maybe not like him personally.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll show. And then, but they'll just take the, you know, the top set and construe their narrative with that. Blue Rose Research, which is by David Shore, who is a leftist, he did analysis. You see what he said about if every registered voter was dragged to the polls and could cast a ballot in 2024, Trump would have won the popular vote by 5 points.
Yeah.
Not 1.7, by 5. So
yeah,
everything has been turned on its head regarding how Democrats view winning elections. You know, remember, if we vote, we win. Not so much anymore.
Well, and as Trump continues to stack wins for America and the, you know, things continue to head in the right direction, I think you're going to see that move even more. And that's, I think, what really scares the Democrats.
They got no working people in their ranks.
Yeah, nothing that they're doing is working. They've lost the working class. I mean, there's been such a monumental shift in this country in the coalitions.
Yeah. I just can't believe they thought that they could win without those people.
I'm just not sure how the Democrats can put back together a winning coalition.
Yeah.
Which is great for us.
It is.
Obviously.
It is. And non-white voters who identify as conservative or moderate are now mirroring their white counterparts for the first time ever.
Yep.
So that's good luck trying to break the shackles on that, especially when you push all this pro-Ukraine, kill Elon, DEI, you know, let's transgender the mice,
climate change shit, and
all this stuff.
So all great news. Keep fighting, and you know, especially if you're in Wisconsin, that race is so key.
Yeah.
Of course, if you have any comments, questions, things you want us to cover, email us, triggered@townhall.com. Shout out to our good friend Gail for emailing us, and our good friend John. That was very interesting to see. Thank you for sending that. We love you all. Thank you so much. Of course, if you want to become a VIP member and get Triggered Uncensored, go to townhallvip.com. Use the promo code FIGHT for 60% off. I promise you will love it. Today's episode was definitely a good uncensored one. you get a ton of shit. I promise you will love it. Money back guarantee. So many Triggered listeners are VIPs and have never asked for their money back. So we love you all. Thank you all. And we will be back here next Wednesday, hopefully, for another episode of Triggered. We hope you have a tremendous March Madness weekend. Of course, I need to survive my boys' trip to Atlantic City this weekend. So, you know, 50-50 on if I'll be here next week. But if I am, we'll have another episode of Triggered next Wednesday.
See you then.